such love, such wondrous love that the Father shows to us. What a great message that is for all of us, of His love to us. One other prayer request that I wanted to mention this morning, I did not have it written down, but pray for Renee Cisna. She is facing another back surgery, and some of the things that they did earlier have come loose and not able to, and a lot of pain, not able hardly to walk. And so pray for her sometime these next, as soon as they call her, then be another back surgery. And so just pray for her. All right, this morning, Luke chapter number 15. That song, as we sang that, I thought, my, how great that is to know that I don't have to be a servant. I am a son and a child of the King. And we don't even deserve to be a servant of Jesus Christ, but we are his children. And such love that he has given to us, how great that is in our life. And that chorus, I was even able a little bit to sing that. I tried. And so I'm glad things are beginning to work right and do well. But if I never sing again, that's okay if I can talk. And so that's fine. This morning, Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. Of course, this is the chapter where it has the parable that the Lord gave to the Pharisees and the scribes. And he gives them parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then I believe the lost sons that are given here in this passage. But we find here that verse 11, he says, there was a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house, or my father's, have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise, go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I guess there's no happier occasion that could be noted in the life of an individual or a family, or especially here in the Word of God. I guess there's no more of a merry event than the homecoming of a child that has been wayward. One that has gone their own way, their own direction, and they've spent all they had. They've destroyed their testimony. They've destroyed their life. And now they decide that it's time to go home. No wonder the father stopped the boy. He did not get to say all that he had planned to say. He said, I'm going to tell him I'm not worthy to be a son. I'm not worthy to be even listed as a child. Just make me a servant. And so when he comes there, his father is looking for him. The only way that the father could see him coming from a far distance is that the father was looking for him. I don't believe he looked for him just that one particular day. I believe he looked for him every day that he was gone, because he was there that day looking as he had in the days gone by. And he sees in a distance his son coming. He recognized the silhouette of his child. He recognized, they couldn't maybe see his face because he's a long distance off, but he knew that it was his child that was making his way back home. And so he runs to meet him. And when he comes there, when the father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. There's that reunion between the father and the son. And by the way, the father is the one that ran to him and completed this transaction of once again being right with his father. And the son said, I've sinned, and I've sinned in heaven, sinned in thy sight. No more worthy to be called thy son. But the father stopped him there, and instead of him letting him say, let me be one of the servants, he calls the servants, and he says, you bring the robe of sonship, you put a ring on his hand, you put shoes on his feet, and now we're going to have a feast. Kill the fatted calf. The reason it was a fatted calf, because he had it ready for that son that he believed was going to come home. The fatted calf was a prepared meal ahead of time for a celebration that would come. It's sort of like we do now, that we will, in our own, sometimes our own families, we'll take a calf, we'll raise it, we'll grain feed it, we'll make it be just as good as it can, because we know there's a day that we're going to have that calf in our freezer. It's something that was prepared. And so this father had prepared this, I believe, for the homecoming of his son, because it was a fatted calf in preparation. As we look at these verses this morning, we find that the son said, give me what belongs to me. And then a few verses on down, he says to his, just make me a servant. Now, I don't know how long it was between give me and make me. I don't know how many days went by. I don't know how many weeks, months, even maybe years that had gone by in this son's life from the time he said, give me what belongs to me. And so just a few days later, he took all of his substance, took everything that he had, everything that he owned, and he departed his father's house. And so he said, give it to me. Well, he's the younger son. He really didn't have a right to say that. But you'll notice here that the father divided his substance between both of his sons at the request of his younger son. The elder brother, he stayed home and took care of things as was supposed to be, but yet his father had already given him his inheritance because of the younger son. The younger son takes his inheritance, and the Bible says he goes to a far country. It doesn't tell us where he went, doesn't tell us what direction he went. This is a parable, so there's no real details in that. And he doesn't give us any details like that. He just went a long way from his father. And he took all that he had. And then the Bible says he spent all that he had in riotous living. How far is it from give me to make me? Here we find in these last few weeks that we've been able to bring some messages. We've had some places that the Lord is needed. He was needed at the well for the woman. He was needed in the storm. He was needed at the helm of the ship. And this morning, he's needed down here in the hog pen. He's needed down here in the life of this young boy that thinks he has had everything his way. He's got it all figured out. Just give me what's mine, and I'll go. I don't know how far it is in time and space between give me or make me, but I'll tell you what, we've all been there, I'm sure. We've all had our times of rebellion against the Lord. Sometimes it's open rebellion, everybody knows about it. Sometimes it's an inward rebellion that no one knows except us. But many times we rebel against God and say, just God, give me what's mine. And really, when we do that, if God gave us what we deserve, he would just go ahead and get us out of this world, because we deserve nothing. But here this young man, he says, give me what is mine. I believe this son's heart had become hard toward his father for a long time. It doesn't happen immediately. Just like our departure from the will of God, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process of the devil coming and destroying things in our heart and our lives. And it's a process of growing cold and indifferent to the Lord. And it's a process of just saying, I'm not going to do what the Lord wants me to do in our heart. Sometimes we make it open, and I've seen people, and I'm sure those of you who've been in church very long, you've seen other people open rebel against God. But most of our rebellion is on the inside that nobody sees except us. Most of the time, it's just our heart's rebellion. But it still has the same effect. And we look back on this story, we see this young man has a problem. I think he had a problem with the things that he wanted to be his. He maybe had a money problem. He maybe had a problem with things. And he says to his father, the younger said in verse number 12, "Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. I want what's mine." Now that took some time, I'm sure, for that young man to get the courage and the nerve up to be able to say to his father, "Give me what belongs to me." And I don't believe he come and asked politely. That's not a polite question. This is a question of a rebellious heart. It's a question of one that says, "Give me what's mine and let me go. Let me depart from here. Let me get out of the way." And so this young man's heart, I believe, had been hardened for some time. Let's notice some words here in this passage that this son says to his father and then unto himself. Verse number 12, we've already noticed that. He says, "Give me." That was his wish. Just give me. I want what is mine. The last part of verse 12, he says, "What's fallen to me? Give me what belongs to me." Well, really, it didn't anything belong to him. It was his father's. But he said, "I'm going to step over the bounds and I'm going to get ahead of the process of time and just give me what will be mine." That's what he wanted. He wanted those things that one day would be his. The Bible says in verse 13, the first part of it, that he took a journey. He went the wrong way. He took a journey. He took a journey away from his father. Then in verse 13 also, it says, "And there wasted." He took a journey, all the things that he had, and he wasted. He went there probably pretty well off. His father had servants. His father had calves. His father had herds. And he said, "Give me what belongs to me." And so when he left his father's house, he left probably in a pretty good financial position. But it didn't take long. And the Bible says he wasted his substance. Now he was wasting more than things. He was wasting his life. He wasted his substance. And so here we find that he went to a far country. He went a wrong way. He there wasted, and he spent all that he had. And the Bible says in verse number 14, he began to be in want. All of a sudden he realizes, "Where's all my things?" He realizes that he doesn't have the ability to do what he did before because he's wasted his substance. And on down later it says nobody cared for him. What did he waste his substance on? Righteous living. He wasted it on having a good time. He wasted it on people, friends so-called. He wasted it on having ability to show off and to be the big guy. But all of a sudden he comes to the realization, "I don't have anything. I've wasted." He spent all that he had. He began to be in want. And so he makes another journey. Here in verse number 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now that tells me up until this point, he'd been his own person. He'd done his own thing. He lived the way he wanted to live. He lived where he wanted to live. He lived the way he desired. All of a sudden, he's in want. All of a sudden, he doesn't have what he needs. And he goes and joins himself to a citizen of that far country. You see, the progression is always downward. No longer now can he depend upon his things. No longer can he depend upon what his father gave him. No longer can he depend upon himself, because he's wasted it in fun and games. The scripture says riotous living. So he goes and joins himself to a person of that country. And you know what he does? He gets him a job. Now he's gone from a son that didn't have to work to a pretty well-off individual that could play and have games. Now he's a fellow that has to go work just to live. The Bible tells us he's hungry. And here's a Jewish boy feeding pigs. That's the lowest thing that a Jew could ever do. Swine. Old Testament, swine is we may like our bacon, we may like our ham, we may like our, we like our barbecue, we have all, but according to the Old Testament, to the Jew, and that's not us, thank the Lord, but to the Jew, a swine or a pig was very, very dirty. And they were forbidden to eat it, to have anything to do with it, much less lower yourself to feed it. See the progression? Here's a child that has everything provided for him. Now he's in a far country. All of a sudden he's alone. His friends are gone. His money is gone. His livelihood is gone. And now he's feeding pigs. In Kentucky, years ago, it would be called slopping the hogs. How many of you ever heard that term? How many ever done it? How many of you hated it? Yeah. My dad said, "Son, it smells like money." We had a lot of pigs. I hated them. I like the end result of it, though. But here's this boy feeding the swine. No man, what did the Bible say? Nobody cared for him. He's all alone. He feeds the swine. That's a wrong employment for him. He had a new want. Now he needed food. Now he needed something just to survive. And the scripture says he would have feigned, or he would have, if he had to, he would have eaten what was left over that the pigs did not eat. Now, my mind goes back. I wouldn't eat what they would eat, much less what they would not eat. And here's this boy down in the hog pen. I believe he needs somebody to come by and help him. I believe the Lord is needed there. Now, he lost a lot of things. He lost all of his money, all of his friends. But the Bible says in verse number 17, the scripture says, when he came to himself. All of a sudden, the teaching of the Father come to his mind. All of a sudden, the realization that what he left wasn't as bad as he thought it was. What he left was not as troublesome as he thought it was. And so he comes to himself as he's down there feeding the pigs. I believe the Lord came by and nudged his heart and made him realize there's something far better than what you got. And he says here, he came to himself. And then he says, I will arise, I'll go to my father. That is his first right decision of the whole passage that we've read. That's the first time that he makes a right decision. His deciding to take his father's goods, that's not good. His deciding to leave home is not good. His deciding to have fun and live riotously, spending and being spent, wasn't a good decision. Going down and feeding the pigs, it's not a good decision. Sometimes we have to go all the way down to the pig pen before we ever make a right decision. And he says, I will arise and I'll go to my father. And he got to thinking. He said, my father's servants, they're living better than I am. They don't have to do this. They have housing. They have goods. They have their things. They have their needs met. My servants are living better than his son. And so he says, I'll go to my father. And he will say, no more worthy. That's the right, first right words he said. Right choice, right words. No more worthy. That's his heart. He realizes what has taken place. He said, I'll just be a hired servant. He was willing to be in the right position now. He's not the big son up here that has everything. I'll just be a servant. Had a right position in his heart. And the father had what? Compassion. Sometimes we read the story in our modern day understanding of the family. There are many families that would say, get out of here, I don't ever see you again. And they mean that. In our modern society that's supposed to be so educated and well-informed and so well up on things, sometimes our society will throw their babies away and never care. Brother Gallagher, I did not know what you said this morning about Kentucky. That's a shame. I will say this, I'm glad we have a governor that's shutting them down. Pulled the funding from those places that abort children. But our society would say, if you're going to leave me, don't you ever come back. But that father didn't have that personality. That father is a type. A parable is a earthly story with what? A heavenly meaning. The parable gives us the story of a family. The heavenly meaning is our father treats us just like that father treated him. Thank God he has compassion. Praise the Lord. Has compassion on us. When we in our wicked heart and our wicked ways we say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live the way I want to live. And he still has compassion on us. He still loves us. And so this parable here is revealing to us the love and the compassion that the Father had for his son, that our God has for you and I. This son lost a lot of things. He lost his goods, he lost his ability, he lost his friend, he lost it all as far as humanly speaking was concerned. But there are some things that he did not lose. I'm going to give you four of them and we'll be done. He did not lose his ability to reason because he came to himself. He was reasoning in his heart. He remembered the servants. He remembered the home. He remembered all that he had. He came to himself. He woke up to the realization that I've done wrong. He woke up to the fact that I've sinned. He had the ability to reason within himself. He remembered the servants and the father's provision for them. He remembered the bread that was on the table. He remembered the food that was set for him every day two or three times a day. He remembered all those things, but he had to be in the pig pen before he could remember that. He had to lose it all before he could gain what he needed in his life. He remembered his father's care. He remembered his father's comfort and his commitment, his compassion upon it. His father showed it because the Bible says that he ran and fell on his neck having compassion on his son. His son had the ability to remember and reason that I could have it better. He remembered his father and for all the reasons to go home. And probably why he had his speech all figured out in his head. He said, I'm going to say this, 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 and this. Probably the reason he had it all figured out is because he was afraid that his father would not accept him as a son. The father had no reason to do that, because he said, the son said, I don't want you as my father anymore. The son said, I don't want your goods anymore. I don't want what you give me anymore. Just give me what's mine and let me leave here and I'll be out of your hair. The son knew his attitude toward his father. And he knew his father remembered that. So he figures it out. I'm going to go home and I'm going to get on my knees before my father and say, I'm not worthy to be your son. Just make me a servant. Sometimes every time that's where we have to be before God can make us a son. Be willing to be nothing. And so he reasons out in his heart and his life and he says, I'm going to go home and I'm going to do this and I'm going to say this and maybe it will be all right. He had an ability to reason. He didn't lose that. He had a heart that could be touched. He says, I have sinned. He comes to the understanding that I've sinned. In our generation, in our churchy Christianity that we live in this world, most people today are not coming to the point that they know they're sinners. They just decide they're going to do better. That's why our churches are in a mess. Because you fill churches up with people that just try to do better, and you can't do better unless you're saved. You don't think better. You don't act better. You're not any different. But this boy, he come to himself, and he said, I have sinned. Now notice, he said, verse 18, I'll go to my father and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I have sinned against mankind. I've sinned against my family and I've sinned against God. Spiritually, I'm in a mess. I'm a sinner. And he comes to himself and he realizes all the good things that he had, that he gave up, that he spent, that he throwed away. My father's servants are better than I am. And so I'm going to go and say, Father, I have sinned. I'll tell you what, when we go to our father that way, he takes care of us, doesn't he? When we realize we're sinners, when we realize that we need God, when we realize that we can't do it ourselves, then God can do some things in our heart and our life. He can make us a new creature in Christ. And so this morning, this young man, he didn't lose his ability to reason. He did not lose his ability that his heart could be touched because his heart had been touched by God. I'm a sinner. He did not lose, thank God, he did not lose a father that loved him. His father never stopped loving him. Now he may have shown rebellion. His father loved him. He may openly said, Father, I want mine. The reason the father gave it to him is because the father loved him. He went off. Father didn't know where he was, didn't know if he's ever going to see him again. But you know what? The father loved him. because he was preparing for his return. He had the fatted calf. He had the ring. He had the shoes. He had the robe. He had all those things waiting for his son. And so we find here that the father never did stop loving him. He didn't lose that father. You'll notice here the father never did belittle his son. He didn't draw attention to his son's sin. He just showed forgiveness. Well, thank God, when we're forgiven, we are forgiven. Never to be brought up to us again. Can you imagine this boy coming out of the pig pen? He's traveled the miles back now. He left out dressed probably pretty good. He left out with everything he owned. All the clothes. Now we probably couldn't do that today. We'd have to have a U-Haul. But what they had, you could carry with you. I used to say Sharon had enough shoes to fill a U-Haul. Now we'd fill two because I got almost as many as she does. And so this boy took everything he had, dressed pretty good. He's going to make a statement wherever he's going. I've got money. Now he comes back. I don't think he probably smelled very good. I know he didn't. You can take a pig and you can put a bath on him and put ribbons around his neck and earrings in his ears, and he's going to go waller in the mud because that's his nature. So this boy, he's feeding the pigs, and he said, man, what am I doing down here? I look bad. I don't have anything. I don't have any food. My clothes stink. My shoes are gone. I'm going to go home. And he never did lose a father that loved him. What a beautiful picture. That father was looking for him every day. He looked down that drive or down that road. As that boy, as he left, I'm sure he watched him walk out of distance and out of sight. And every day that father would look and say, is he coming home? Well, one day he saw a little shadow. He gets a little bit closer and gets a little bit closer. He begins to see that it's the silhouette of a person. He gets a little bit closer. He says, ah, that's my son. Now the father didn't, he didn't dress him up, clean him up, fix him up before he hugged him. He didn't do all those things. You know, a lot of people preach today that we got to get rid of this and got to get rid of that. We got to do this. We got to clean up this. We got to get better before God will save us. No, God doesn't save us as long as we're trying to do all that. God saves me while I'm down there in the pig pen. When I realize, what am I doing? So here's this boy, no shoes, very few clothes, no money, no food. And he smells to high heaven. And the father runs and hugs him and falls on his neck and said, this is my son. This is my son that was lost and undone, out of the way. But he's my son. And he says, while that boy is trying to tell him all that he wants to tell him, he's trying to tell him, I'm no good. I just need to be like a servant. And his father, while he's hugging him and holding him and loving on him, he says to his servants, go get the robe. It's his robe. Go get the shoes. They fit his feet. Go get the ring. Put it on his finger. That ring represents sonship. The robe represents covering. The shoes represent service. Go get all those things and put it on him. For my son that was dead, he is alive. praise the Lord. And he said, and while you're doing all that, get ready, we're going to have a party. Go kill that calf that we've fattened up. Because we're gonna make merry. My son was dead. He didn't lose his ability to reason. He did not lose his heart that could not be touched. He did not lose a father. And thank God, he did not lose his home. A home to go to. He wanted a far country. He wanted to get away as far as possible. But he needed to be welcomed back home. He wanted to be cut off from all that he had. But he just wanted to come back as a servant. Only the good things could offer to him a standing. Now he had the best. He had a robe, had a ring, and he had the right of a son. He wanted the right to be left alone. But now he loved sitting at the table. He wanted to run the streets of the world, and he did that. But now all he needed was to rest in the arms of a loving father. How far is it from give me to make me? Sometimes it's a long ways. But we can go from give me to make me almost immediately. That's the grace of our Lord. That day that son came home, if he'd have come home a year earlier, it'd still been the same thing because the father was looking for him. If he'd come home a week earlier, it'd been the same thing. If he'd come home a month later, guess what? It'd have been the same thing. Because he never did lose a father that cared for him and loved him. I'm glad this morning I can be encouraged that my Heavenly Father always loves me. He loves me when I'm sitting at his table. And he even loves me when I'm sitting with the pigs. Because that's his nature. God is love. Let's stand together this morning.